Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do not underestimate the power of the internet. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There is a story that has been circulating, in fact, a testimony of a Mormon by the name of Hans Mattsson from Sweden that is, I guess you could say, gone viral. Everybody's talking about this, at least if you have any interest on the subject of Mormonism. But there was an article in the New York Times on July 20th, 2013, titled "Some Mormons Search the Web and Find Doubt." Now, Eric, you would probably agree that when the internet came out in the mid-1990s, that really changed our whole way of doing ministry. The internet has just made things incredibly easy for us to get information out. I remember in the old days, whenever we received a letter from a Mormon who was having some severe doubts about their faith, they would have to send us either a handwritten or a type letter explaining some of their concerns. And I remember so many times being cautioned, when you write back, do not put your ministry name on the envelope, because they either had a Mormon postmaster or the person who delivered the mail was also LDS. And so there was a lot of concern. The internet has changed all that.
Well, just imagine if you wanted to find out information about the Mormon church back in the 1970s when you started, you would have to have access. The libraries wouldn't necessarily have the information. You might go to a Christian bookstore. They might have Kingdom of the Cults or maybe something by Gerald and Sandra Tanner, but really there was so little out there. And today at the fingertips, you can gather information from all different kinds of sources.
And there's no doubt that the Mormon church has also utilized the internet for their good. But I think in the long run, looking back, I think it would be proper to say that probably the internet has become the Mormon church's worst nightmare, because they no longer have the ability to protect their people from information that they probably do not want them to know. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because this article in the New York Times, talking about this Swedish member of the church, the man named Hans Mattsson, his story is now going all over the place. And the reason being is he is not just your average member. He was an Area 70. Now, an Area 70, from what I understand, he was third quorum of the 70. And so this is not a lifelong position like the other general authority positions in the church, but it is high up there. Mm-hmm. In order to get that position, you have to be pretty trusted, very well trusted in the Mormon church. How does this article start off? Let's comment about it.
Well, and talking about the internet, we do have a link to this article. If you go to our front page under the article, "Former Swedish Church Leader Just Wants the Truth," and you can click on there and read this for yourself. And this is what it starts off saying. In the small but cohesive Mormon community where he grew up, Hans Mattsson was a solid believer and a pillar of the church. He followed his father and grandfather into church leadership and finally became an area authority overseeing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints throughout Europe. When fellow believers in Sweden first began coming to him with information from the internet that contradicted the church's history and teachings, he dismissed it as quote-unquote anti-Mormon propaganda, the whisperings of Lucifer.
Now, let me stop you there, because we get that a lot from Mormons. We get a lot of email from well-meaning Mormons who start off by assuming that what we are saying is just bald-faced lies and how we're working for the devil. In fact, we've read a few of them on our Fan Mail Friday shows. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult for me to really get angry at Mormons like that, because I have to think about, well, what do they really know about the church? How long have they been in the church? What kind of serious study have they even done in their own history? Mm-hmm. And many times I find that they haven't done a whole lot of study. And the reason being is they don't think they need to. They've been taking everything the church tells them, and they just naturally assume everything is fine in Zion when it's not.
And they use that term anti-Mormon to not read it originally. And that's not going to happen in this case with Mr. Mattson, because he ends up reading. And so it goes on and says he asked his superiors for help in responding to the members' doubts. And when they seemed to only sidestep the questions, Mr. Mattson began his own investigation. But when he discovered credible evidence that the church's founder, Joseph Smith, was a polygamist, and that the Book of Mormon and other scriptures were rife with historical anomalies, Mr. Mattson said he felt that the foundation on which he had built his life began to crumble.
Now, you can imagine, if you've grown up in this system, and from what we understand, Mr. Mattson is a generational Mormon. He was born in the covenant. He's not a convert, although I understand that his wife, Birgitta, is a convert to Mormonism. And I think Christians need to understand this. When a Mormon starts finding out this type of information, it's going to be earth-shattering for them. And I think we need to have understanding and compassion when a Mormon is going through that type of crisis. And there are many Mormons that are, in fact, going through this crisis. We cannot assume that just because our neighbors have a smiling face and may promote their faith that they have not come across things that have caused them to have a lot of doubts.
Well, and put yourself in their shoes and realize, if you were to find out that the resurrection was not true, that Jesus is not God, and that maybe Mormonism was true, can you imagine the consequences of your own life? And so we have to have the compassion you're talking about there, Bill, and be able to sympathize with people like Mr. Mattson and many others who find out the truth.
He talks about how he felt like an earthquake was under his feet, according to the article. Now, it says here that Mr. Mattson is now an emeritus area authority. This is one of the shocking parts of this whole story, Eric, is that Hans Mattson is still a part of the Mormon Church. Although when he was interviewed by John DeLynn, I think we need to point out, John DeLynn asked him where he is right now with his faith. And this is the Mormon Stories podcast, which, by the way, was one of the sites that Mr. Mattson went to when he was having a lot of these doubts. So he's listening to stories of other fellow Mormons who have gone through a lot of these similar struggles. How the Mormon handles this information, of course, is different depending on the individual. Many of them have gone off into atheism, agnosticism, and some have learned how to somehow cope with it, which is the impression that I get with Hans Mattson. I personally don't understand that. I really don't. If I found out some of the things that Hans Mattson found out, it would cause me to just jettison the whole movement. Because to me, and as we've talked about many times, some of this information really shows Joseph Smith to be a scoundrel and not a person that's worthy of trust, and certainly not a theologian who should know what the Bible actually teaches. But Mr. Mattson's going to have to go through his own journey, and I'm going to have to let it go at that. One thing about him, being an area authority, that's one of the highest ranking church officials who has gone public with deep concerns. And that's what this article brings out. It quotes Greg Prince saying just that Mr. Mattson, he is, as far as I know, the highest ranking church official who has gone public with deep concerns, who has had a faith crisis and come forward to say he's going to talk about it because maybe that will help us all to resolve it. It talks about how Terrell Givens, and I didn't know this, but Terrell Givens, who is a Mormon author, according to the article, a professor of English literature and religion at the University of Richmond, and a Mormon believer, the article states that he has been giving talks and allowing people to come with their concerns. He's been hosting these discussions, they call it. In fact, they said that there was one in July in Provo. I was unaware of that. If I would have known about that, I would have loved to attend and hear what some of the members here locally, especially in Provo, Utah, Happy Valley.
I wonder if you had to be invited, though.
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't think that they would open that up to just everyone. But anyway, it says that the church is not sponsoring the sessions. What do you think about that? The church is not sponsoring these sessions.
Why shouldn't they be sponsoring sessions like this? Because this is dealing with real questions that their people have. And if a church has authority to be able to give the answers, it seems like they ought to consider perhaps doing their own series of lectures.
You and I have both experienced that when we quote anybody lower than a general authority, it's easy for many Latter-day Saints to just blow off whatever they said, because those are not the people who actually speak, as you said, with authority. And as we've often kind of kidded around here, that the Mormon Church claims to be the only church on earth with all authority, but it doesn't seem like too many people within it speak with any authority. And even when we quote some of these general authorities, it's not impossible for a Mormon to easily want to dismiss whatever they may have said if it doesn't go along with what they personally want to believe. So this is why it's very difficult sometimes for us as outsiders to fully understand what Mormonism is really all about. Because far too many times people will get their information from a lay member in the church who really does not have any authority to speak on these doctrinal issues and assume the personal belief that they hold is somehow indicative of what the Mormon church actually teaches as a corporation. And many times that is not the case. But I would agree with you. I think the church probably should sponsor some of these sessions. Put Jeffrey Holland out there. Put Boyd Packer out there. Put Thomas Monson out there. Have like a session like they do in England, you know, where the prime minister has to answer questions from all the MPs. That would be quite an interesting event, to say the least.
Well, Peter and Paul were on the front line all the time. And so you don't see these guys on the front line unless they're behind a pulpit at General Conference.
That's right. And that's a very safe environment for them. Doing what we do, going out on the streets, that is not a safe environment. We're making ourselves very vulnerable when we go out to talk to Mormons on the streets. And even when we open ourselves up on our own website and in our emails, certainly. Anyway, the whole point is that Mr. Mattson went through this crisis of faith, and he wanted to find out what these answers were. Now, you have to understand, as we said, he's not the average Mormon member. He served as a missionary in England. He was also a bishop in the LDS Church. He was a stake president in the Mormon Church. And as we also have mentioned, he was an Area 70 in the Mormon Church. These are positions of honor in the Mormon Church.
Absolutely.
You don't get these positions unless you've proven yourself to be a true believer in the system. But as with everyone, when they find out information that seems to conflict with what they've been taught, you can see why this could cause this crisis of faith. And the big question is, what do you do with it? Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about this crisis of faith that Mr. Mattson has. And then we want to move into a Q&A session that took place in Stockholm, Sweden, back in 2010. And the reason why we want to mention that is because Mr. Mattson had a lot to do with that as well.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like a chance to travel to the biblical lands of Greece and Italy? Mormonism Research Ministry is sponsoring a trip of a lifetime that will take place September 2014. In Italy, we'll visit a number of sites that have Christian significance, including taking a walk on the Appian Way, the ancient Roman road used by Paul, and experience the underground catacombs where early Christians were buried. Italian cities that we'll explore during this 10-day trip are Pompeii, Rome, Florence, and Venice. And during an optional pre-extension tour to Greece, we'll see Delphi, Corinth, and Athens, including Mars Hill from Acts chapter 17. Your price will include the international flights, 3- and 4-star hotels, breakfast and dinners, a dedicated guide with our own bus and driver, all admission fees, and even all taxes and tips. To get more information, we invite you to visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com. It's all one word. Again, that's theapologeticstudybibletour.com. No doubt, this is a trip you simply won't want to miss.